I'm going to do my spiel, and then we will get ready to go. So, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bar Buddies Tales from the Bar. This is a workshopped intro, so we're just going to go with it. I am here today with Josiah freaking Myers. Last Youth, if you have been a fan of the live show, you know. I mean, if you know, you know. But if you don't, we used to play them a lot. So I will give you the opportunity to introduce yourself, tell the people about you. You can either give them your name, date of birth, social security number, last three digits on the back of your credit card. Up to you. The floor is yours.
What's up, guys? Josiah from Last Youth. I think I met you probably towards the beginning of the project. Didn't you come up to Akron?
We went to Youngstown.
That was the first show of our tour. But you've been one of the most supportive people. Last Youth, we're a indie pop rock band, experimental, I think, with the pop realm, rock realm. We always try to create bangers so that we can really jam out live. Done a few tours, just a 2-year-old project, started off of the password of our Wi-Fi 2 years ago, and been producing and getting out music ever since. We've got some cool stuff, I'll tell you, in the works. A handful of singles that are going to come out, but right now we're sitting on 15 songs.
Oh my gosh.
Just signed to a label that I have some confidence in. They're going to help us get to the next level, get our streaming numbers up, get our music distributed the way we want to. And so there's just a ton of plans and activities in the works for 2021.
That's so goodbye exciting. 2020. That's so exciting. That makes me so happy to hear. God, it's been two years already. Jesus.
Somehow. I mean, this entire last year was like, it felt like it was a month.
Yeah. Well, so I figured out, so like Anchor does, where I host this podcast, they do, you can add music. So I recorded a not so live show via like on my other podcast, and it's 22 songs for my 22nd birthday, and Ohio is on there, and I commented on it, and I was like, wow, I remember when this song had like 100 streams, and I was like, and now you guys have like 11,000 listeners, and I was like, I feel so proud. I feel like a proud mom.
Yeah, dude, I'm pumped. It's always annoying whenever you first come out with music, because you think that music's like your biggest bangers, because it probably is. But no one, like, you know, obviously you have to work up your listeners. No one really got to listen to that song like they have some of the more recent ones. But we're working on stuff. I really want to get this next EP that's probably going to be released this summer into the hands of a lot of people, just to give it a real chance to thrive and really get out there and get listened to at scale. But
which,
yeah.
Which record label did you guys get signed to? And I can redact it if you need to. I can bleep it out.
No, you're good. It's called Acoustic. They're based out of Spain, actually, Barcelona. That's and they've cool. got a number. They've got, I want to say, 120 groups on their label right now. 15 of them are like indie pop within like our genre. That was my biggest thing. So we had a few people that we were talking to, and we wanted to get a label signed just to get us out of this kind of beginner mode, if you will, into, you know, the B and C listeners, 100,000 plus, and really just try to get the project to a second level. But they showed some really good clout and good accomplishments getting artists from where we're at now to where we want to be. So you should look them up. I'll send over some information.
Okay. I'll look them up and be like, hey, I need guests for my podcast. What's up?
Yeah, no, seriously, I can do an email introduction to you. The lady I work with, Maria over there, super cool.
I'm very good at sending emails. I recently just like I made a super long list of people that I follow on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. You know, like all these people that I think are like really cool, like creators or like actors or whatever. And I was like, you know what, the worst that they can do is just not open my email. So I just sent like 100 emails, and you know, whatever happens happens. I get a lot of no's, but sometimes I get a few yeses. Like
it's like the little things too, and then that fuels you to send 100 more messages. And
yeah,
you know, and once you get a few of them under your belt, you can use those as examples to
said hello. I'm really like, a lot of people when they say no, it's just because of like scheduling or like bands are like working on stuff, but they're like, the concept is really cool. And I was like, okay, so like I know I have a good concept, it's just like working out the schedule. And they were like, what days work best for you? And I was like, literally anytime, anytime.
The part of artistry that we're in right now, I feel like, is the hardest. And it's where you've got to grind and you've got to put that real like salesmanship and the time into doing the tasks that nobody really wants to do. But if you don't, then how are you going to actually make it and get to the next level? So I feel like you're doing all the right things and loving seeing. I can't wait to see where we're at in 1, 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Yeah, because the last time we talked was like and had like an interview was in October, on your first tour. And then
October 2019, 19. I think.
Yeah, because it was my brother's birthday. That's how I remember. And I was like,
happy birthday, bro.
He's gonna be 18 this October, and I'm not emotionally prepared for it. Even though
be I'm smoking hella cigs.
Probably tobacco not. By the carton. Both of us have asthma, so probably not.
Yeah. You better not then.
But you were my last show before COVID too. So I feel like it's all like full circle.
I was my last show before COVID.
Oh. They were like,
surprise. That was like, I was so pumped because the Orphan the Poet, that was the second or third show that we played with them, and they're good. They're consistently getting Spotify editorial placements, and
I love them. They're so good.
Yeah, they're great, and they're just like really starting to figure it out. And that tour that they were on, we jumped on for their Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland shows, and we were like, all right, let's start heating things up. We got a legit band that we're starting to open up for, and then something about a pandemic started over in Wuhan, China. shut the world down for a wee little bit.
There were
some riots in the mix in the presidential election. Now we're here.
Oh, God. I moved back home. This is I'm at my parents' house. You know, I didn't fully, like, unpack my stuff from college until August because I was like, oh, I'm just going to have to move again. It was not a fun.
Right.
Trying to move out of a dorm during a pandemic, I'd never again. That was very, I'm just like.
Wouldn't recommend.
So Kent was like, okay, you'll have to the end of the month to figure everything out because we understand that there's like a lot of people. And then they were like, surprise, you actually have until the end of the week to like move all your shit out or else it's gone forever. And I was like, so now I'm throwing shit in bags because when they shut the campus down, I took one bag and I came home. And I left dirty dishes in the sink, dirty laundry. Like, you weren't really thinking about it when, like, everything gets shut down. So now I'm shoving shit in bags and trying to shove it in the minivan. And I'm trying to move everything out. I'm the last one to move out, so I have to make sure the apartment's clean. I was like, never again will I be doing this. And then I said, surprise, I'm actually just dropping out of college, so it's fine.
Right. Well, I feel like if you didn't go back to your parents or your original home during the pandemic, that you were missing out.
Yeah.
I did the same thing for 3 months. It was so fun. Got to reconnect with my sisters and brothers, which are, they're all 20 something, 30 something. And so being able to like be back in the same house as them for this one random time, I feel like it was like such a rare, interesting opportunity, even though everything else around us sucked. It was cool. Like playing Rummy and like Rummy Cube and Euchre and like having family dinners again. But you can't knock going back to your house for a little bit.
No, because my brother and I are pretty close. So I keep trying to get him to start a band with me. He will not. I'm still working on tactics. So if you have any, let me know. Short to like just taping him to his bass. Or he's learning how to play guitar now too. So he's a man.
Like if you buy him a guitar?
Well, he has
Christmas
a guitar. Because my dad.
Buy him another one and then you got to be like, yo, bitch.
Well, my dad's in a dad band with a bunch of other dads. And so we have a lot of guitars around the house already, but the rule is one guitar. If you want to bring a new guitar in, you have to let one go. And I'm not willing to part with mine. So
you guys make each other vote one off the island?
Yeah.
That's a sad rule.
That's my mom's rule because we don't have any more space for them. Like we're out of space.
I feel that. That's mad guitar probs.
Yeah, I said hashtag
how many,
first.
How many do you have?
My dad, I want to say he's got three acoustics. He just bought a mandolin. He's got the bass guitar and a handful. I'd say like at least 10.
Okay.
Not counting.
I was thinking like you each had one.
No.
And you weren't allowed. You could only have one. I'm like,
no.
What?
Like, there's like
that's no fun.
We're not strapped for guitars in this house, so But do you have a favorite guitar that you like to play with?
I'm literally sitting right next to my original Mitchell acoustic, which I got in sixth grade.
Mine was a Yamaha. I got mine in third.
I got it in sixth grade. I stole it from my sister. Yeah. She actually got it for Christmas.
That's how my brother got his guitar. It was mine that I got for Christmas, and he stole it. And I got it in sixth grade, and he stole it from me.
And I still play that to this day for, like, live shows, recording, so on and so forth. But it somehow stayed alive. I've literally brought it everywhere. I had a college band, two high school bands that I had it in. This most recent project, if this ever, like, leaves me, I think I might die.
mine was, you know how they make those little guitars for, like, little children? And So that was my first one. It was a Yamaha. And so I had that little one, and then I outgrew it. So it got donated to the place that I bought it from to give it to a kid who wanted lessons. And so now I have a big Yamaha, and it goes with me everywhere. And
the action on it, is it pretty nice?
It's nice. It's old, but it's nice. So I haven't had any problems with it, but granted, I'm not a performer anymore, so I didn't even...
I feel like Yamahas are good. The brand confuses me, though, because they have, like, motorcycles and quads and dirt bikes and guitars and drums and, like, legitimately everything.
They're like the jack of all trades. They're like, here you go. There's a Yamaha for everyone.
Right, but they're still, like, a successful company, obviously, if they're around.
Yeah. So I have my tiny list of questions, as always. Oh, no, my pencil. Oh, well. I wanted to ask you, because I know we briefly talked about Cody, I wanted to ask you how that, like, did the dynamic shift, because now it's just you instead of you and Cody. Like, how has that affected the music or the project or both?
It's a really good question. It's definitely affected it because Cody and I do not have the same music tastes. We have similar, I think we appreciate all music. So it was great whenever we would go to the studio or whatever. I was the main singer-songwriter, but he would come and give input here and there. But if you can, I'm excited for you to hear this EP coming out because that's where you're going to see it the most. Like, I feel like I truly finally got into my form of what I like and all elements of what I like and not just, like, things that I've heard, because it takes time to really understand what you like and what you want to be from a branding standpoint. And if you can hear it in last year's music, like, we kind of jump around a lot in our genre, and it's still always kind of pop indie, but, like, we'll have darker songs, which, like, a lot of professional projects will focus just on that, like, dark rock sound, like Violent Ends, for instance. Bring Me the Horizon was a band that I was listening to a bunch when I played that and put that music video together. But then you get songs like Social Distant Queen, and that's just like a total, like, almost Blink-182, MGK inspired, like, rock banger. But my strategy, and I'm always thinking long term because I'm never going to stop playing music, and I have no reason to not ever stop doing Last Youth. But my philosophy starting out was, like, figure out what you want to do. So try a bunch of shit and then back into what you feel like is truly yours. And that's always going to be changing. If you look at, like, artists like Miley Cyrus, for instance,
her new album just killed it.
Fire. Oh. Absolute fire.
Oh, God. It was a banger.
Yeah, I had that on repeat for sure, like, 4 months ago or whatever when it first came out.
The Midnight Sky remix made it onto my my Spotify Wrapped. That's
nice.
That's how much I listen to it.
Dude. Yeah, I love that. And when that first came out, I was like, okay, Miley, I see you. But it was still Miley in certain essences, like, obviously, her, but a little bit less off with, like, the pop, like, make all the fangirls go crazy pop sound that she had been before, and more into this kind of 80s, The Weeknd inspired new age 80s pop rock. And so while artists are always kind of transforming in their own ways, I feel like I haven't really had a chance to have a solid, solidified sound that I really like. And so this EP that we have that I'm super fucking pumped to release is that for me. And I'm like a huge, if you look at my, like, Spotify Wrapped, my top five artists are going to be, like, Black Bear, MGK, Those are definitely my number one and two. And then Post Malone, like, I love that kind of R&B, like, singing R&B type of stuff. But I'm also just, like, you know, I grew up in Fall Out Boy. I grew up on the All-American Rejects, all these kind of, like, Sad Boys music.
The Sad Boy staples.
Yeah. Yeah, Sad Boy staple, which you see a lot of that in our older stuff. But this is going to change because it was just me and just my ideas and no influence from anybody else besides Will, our producer, who I think you met in that show.
He was
one of the ones playing guitar. So it's cool, and it's a lot more vibey, like kind of slowed down. If you know who Cautious Clay is, there's some elements of like kind of his sound where it's a little bit of guitar music, but still like R&B pop. But yeah, it's been cool. I felt like when I finished the 6-song EP, I was like, this finally feels right for me. You know, it finally feels like I've got a vibe, I've got a sound. And I took time to really like massage that and feel it out and make sure that I just wasn't like, oh, listen to a Bring Me the Horizon song. Now I'm inspired to play this like kind of dark rock shit.
My like kind of like on the same level, my top artist this year is Grandson, which was a shock to many people. Cause I obviously, especially the way I'm dressed today, I don't look like the type of person that would be blasting Grandson. And then it was like, it was like One Direction, like the Hamilton cat. So it was like, it was a very odd mix, but I feel like on that aspect, you can definitely hear the darker, like you were saying, like the darker on your first album, I think with Rosario, because that was like the darker song on that album. I was listening to it today, as I always do. It's in my saved albums, so.
Oh yeah, that's like, and I'm a big Grandson fan as well. And like Vile Mans is right in that lane of, and Rosaria right in that lane of like that darker, like heavy hitting stuff. What I really like about Grandson though is I feel like he has like more of a pop flair to that dark sound, and he can put these catchy lyrics together that still make it ride into pop.
It's such a good story. Like I like take the time and I like listen to the story he's telling, and sometimes they are like really, really dark, but then other times like they're not as dark, but they're still like Maria is one of my favorite ones because it reminds me of like an old Western.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
he's super creative.
It's so good.
Love his stuff.
I was so mad that I couldn't finesse my way into his show. Maybe I'll just ask him to be on my podcast. Be like, hello. Hello,
dude,
please.
Why not?
Yeah. That's
send him 100 emails. I'm sure he'll respond one time.
One, even if it's just to say enough, like, fine, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Stop annoying
me. Did you watch his, when his album was like being released?
No.
He did like a live stream of it.
I didn't. I
was literally crying and like going so nuts. It was funny.
I'm very bad when people are like, we do live streams, because I was like, yeah, I can do it. And then because I have ADHD, I'll forget. Like,
same.
That was a new discovery via quarantine that I had ADHD.
Same.
And you know, and then we got a nice bipolar depression diagnosis on top of that. So I'm just over here wilding on some, you know, controlled substances. I feel like
Oliver Tree too is another one that comes to mind for me, who's like in that dark pop. And his lyrics are so dark, but his music is still pop rock at the same time.
Those are the best for me when it's a contradicting type of it's so good. Those are my favorites.
We have one of those on the EP that's coming out. I'm going to send you just like off the record, send you some of these if you want to check them out before they actually drop, because it's not going to be till like end of spring, summer.
Okay.
That's too late to talk about it and like in this in depth and not at least send you some stuff.
Something will stick. And I'm really excited. I'm always really excited. I'm always like super like aggressively supportive, because that's the only way I know how to be supportive. I'm like, dude, I was like, listen to Last Youth or die. Like,
you are. I love it.
Well, I was thinking about it, and I was, because my mom was asking what my schedule was this week, and I was like, oh, like, blah, 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 and I was like, I have an interview with Josiah from Last Youth, and I went, do you think that, like, my shirt that I bought at their first tour with Cody on it will be worth more money now because he's not in the band? Like, when you guys get big, I was like, if you guys ever break up, I was like, God forbid. But I was like, this shirt will be worth so much money someday, because it's like, it'll be vintage.
Yeah, true vintage, yeah.
You
absolutely.
You know, sell it on Depop for like $300.
We need to get him back.
We do.
in like I think 3 months from now he'll be good.
Oh.
He definitely what the thing about drums too is if you don't use it you lose it.
Yeah.
And that's so you have to like retrain your muscles because it's such a fast twitch instrument. It's how so I he's feel like about, in that process right now, like retraining his muscles.
Yeah, it's how I feel about concert photography right now because I was like, I have been out of it for over almost a year now. And I was like, oh, the thought of having to like retrain myself to do that, I was like, makes me want to vomit. Like, because
yeah.
Now they're going to look like. It's not going to be fun. I've forgotten how to edit photos. Like, I have to retrain myself, and it's something that I don't really want to do right now because nothing else is happening, but I need to do it because I still have photos that are unedited from August of 2019. Like, I need to do them. Like, they're just sitting in my computer. And I was like, Jen, you need to do this. And I was like, because I still have podcast episodes from August that need to be edited. And I was like, but do I want to?
My brother is like kind of going through the same thing because he's our videographer for all of the last youth videos besides Ohio and what's the other one? Like a Cannibal. And then pretty much does all of our photos. He was actually just with us filming and taking forever. That was the most annoying video I've ever filmed, by the way, in the fucking snow.
Oh.
Jeez. And we had this, we weren't even doing like a full video. It was just like putting clips together for Instagram and Spotify, Canvas and stuff like that. But like there was this one point where I was like going nuts and like rolling around all over in the snow and stuff. It sucked so bad. We had like fake one. We had fake blood that we were, like, using to, like, make things dramatic because the song's, like, a sad boy song. Before we cycle our EP, we have, like, 3 more singles that are more, like, old school ass youth. But, yeah, it was not fun. I do not recommend it, but.
I was helping my brother shovel snow. I'm not very strong. And I was breaking up ice, and we were shoveling. And so while I was waiting for him to finish, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some snow angels. Because I had the snow pants on, the big bubble coat, you know. And then I was like, but my gloves were just the regular fabric gloves. And I made that mistake of just the snow. And I was like, God damn it.
Oh, yeah. You put one snowball together and then you're screwed for the rest of you.
It wasn't even snowball snow. It was just like, it just fell apart. And I was like, so what's the point?
Yeah, this is like tundra Alaska snow right now.
I think are we in a polar vortex right now?
Feels like it.
Is that what it is? I can't
remember. I'm pretty sure whenever Texas gets snow like they just did that we're in a polar vortex.
Oh, beautiful. I did.
Yeah, shit's crazy.
Speaking of the new single, now that we're going to. Not to discount the polar vortex, but speaking of the new single, can you tell me what it's about? Like the inspiration.
Oh my God, yeah. So I was just with one of my friends talking about this, and this is not. Hopefully, not a lot of people. No, hopefully, a lot of people listen to this for you, but for me, they don't. So I was going through. I've been single for like a year and a half, probably the longest, and it was all through 2020, which sucks. But I was going through this phase of like putting myself out there to a handful of different women. That's like the nicest way of like calling myself a man whore. But there was this, so I was really just trying to figure out what I like. Cause I dated this girl prior to that and it was a toxic relationship. And I think I jumped into it too fast. And it ended and I really loved this girl, but like we were not right for each other. And I felt like I was in this pattern of like bouncing from girlfriend to girlfriend and not really taking time to figure out what I like and what works for me and like what turns me on and what turns me off and what I'm actually compatible with. So I've been going through this whole phase of life where it's like slow down Josiah mode, but also like put yourself out there and see who you like and who you don't. And some of the like girls get attached, some of them really fast. And if you have sex with them once, then, you know, they think that they're getting married. And so I learned that the hard way. And for this song, it was a girl that I had like a 3 week fling with and I really liked her, but like 3 weeks in, and my whole philosophy is like immediately when you know it's not going to work or you see some signs of something that's not going to work for you, you got to call it off. And a lot of times just people getting rejected like that, it hurts their feelings. And I'm learning the right ways to like tell them, But for this one, this song is just about me liking a girl a lot, but knowing that it's not going to work out because of previous toxic things that I've been through and just having to cut it off. But yeah, I actually wrote it like 3 or 4 months ago, but it's perfect for this season of like kind of depressing Ohio.
It's weather. Like the end of, we're like midway through cuffing season. I think the kids still use that term.
Yeah, and if you're not in cuffing season, this song will be perfect for you because it'll be perfect. Sad.
That's me because, yeah, I did do the Tinder, Bumble, Hinge thing for a hot minute my sophomore year of college, and I was like, yeah, can't do this.
Dude, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I give myself credit.
You add on to the top of the fact that, like, I'm also bisexual, so it was a lot of people being like, we just want to look for, like, threesomes, and I was like, no!
Yeah.
No!
It's like double the audience. Double the fuckboys, like, yeah.
You would think.
Thankfully, I have not, since I've been single. Actually, I downloaded Hinge for, like, 2 weeks, and then I got on there, and I was like, this is so much time, and, like, who knows which one of these is going to, like, turn into something that's somewhat decent.
Yeah.
So I was like, screw it, I'm not even going to mess around with it. So all the people that I've been meeting have just been, like, naturally, which is hard.
It is really
because
hard.
Because it's COVID. Well, or, like, through a friend of a friend or...
Mine was my philosophy going into after I tried the whole dating app thing was like, I'm really not looking for anything right now because like I personally know that I, you know, even though I was like, I used to be a really good girlfriend, now I'm probably not a very good girlfriend. So like I need to fix myself. So like whatever happens, happens. And this is how you end up in a situationship, which is where I'm currently in because he's not in any position to date and I'm not in any position to date, but you do couple-y like things and then he lives 7 hours away and...
That sounds so much like what I have going for me right now.
The situationship is so much fun.
16 hours. Yeah. Mine's 16 hours away, and she just got out of a 4-year relationship.
Where does she live? I'll redact it. We're 16 hours away from here.
No, you don't need to redact it. Like around Miami,
Florida.
So my little sister lives around there, and they're best friends. But we have, like, this cool family thing where my sister's dated, like, 4 of my friends, and so it's, like, not off limits. But I've known her for a number of years, and then we were kind of just hanging out with my sister, and then we started paying interest to each other, but she was dating somebody. I was like, obviously, you got to figure your thing out. And then she became single 2 months ago, and so we've kind of been seeing each other. We've seen each other, like, 2 or 3 times since then, but we are absolutely, like, obsessed with each other. But we're like, hey, we're in totally different places in our lives. Like, I'm ready to, like, find a wife and have babies. Like, I'm starting to get baby fever a lot recently as, like, a 28-year-old. And she's, like, not there at all. She's like, I just got out of this thing. So, like, I like you, but, like, you know, wait for me if you want to. Otherwise, like, we had fun while we did.
Yeah. My friend Rory, who's turning 21 this March, she apparently got baby fever because all she does is send me TikToks about babies. And I was like, we went to Joann Fabrics together, and because she's been in this bit, I can't tell if it's a bit anymore, if she's, like, if she really believes it, but, like, she bought these, like, it's a girl, like, stickers to put on mail to send to our other friends who's like, Rory, are you okay? Like, are you okay? And then there's me, and I was like, I just don't plan on having, like, kids ever, and my situationship, he's 27, so... We're completely, like, different. But he was like, I don't want kids either. And I was like, okay, cool. So, like, neither of us want kids.
That works.
I was like, perfect. I was like, that's the big one. That's what gets everybody. But
yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, like, I'm bored.
Maybe.
And I, like, want to.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah. Well, I've been feeling this way for probably a year now. It's like, I wouldn't be mad. I had a pregnancy scare with my ex. And she, like, missed her period by a month and a half. And so we were really kind of prepping up to, like, me be a dad and her be a mom. And then it, like, she just had one of these situations where she missed her period by a month and a half and then got it.
When that happens to me, I worry that, like, I'm the next Virgin Mary. Because there's no way. But I'm like, is there? Will I?
Right. Yeah. but we were, like, having real talks. And I was like, dude, this is your body, your choice. But, like, I just know that, like, I would have the heck out of that baby if you let me and raise the heck out of it and would have the best time doing it, like, regardless of what happens with us. It just, like, sounds so fun to me.
Babies are cool when I can return them. That's how I feel about children.
Like when you can get a receipt for it and like take it back.
I'm very good with kids and children, but I don't think that like personally I could be in charge of one 24/7. I like it when it's in short bursts and then I can return them.
Dude, yeah. I'm sure like when I end up being a father, I'm gonna obviously like most other people go through those phases where like this is sounds so much fun, like so much love, like that thing pops out and you're like in love with this whole human that you created, and then 2 months later it's crying nonstop every night and you hate your life.
Yeah.
But that shit sounds fun to me right now. I don't know.
I don't, you know, I still do that and I'm about to be 22, so I can ask my mom if she's still really like, I was like, it's too late to return the, it's too late. You've passed the warranty. It's
right. Dude. Yeah.
I saw that you guys played a gig. I know we talked about it.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because I know a lot of bigger bands have been like recording like these interactive specials, but what has it been like going back to like places that you would normally play now that COVID is a thing?
Yeah, so we played two. The first one we played, they ran, and this was back in like Halloween timeframe. If you remember, like COVID went up like crazy, and then during the summer it kind of like plateaued down and then went down and like kind of stayed down, and then obviously got crazy after Halloween, and then they like reinstated all these rules and stuff. So our show was actually the day before the reinstatement of all those rules and curfews and like having to go home at 10 and all that. But so they ran it really, really tight, and the venue was really good about like putting barriers between people and making it to where they don't like go, or it's very hard to get up out of your seat. So that was cool because we didn't feel like bad that we were like causing COVID or like any of that stuff. And it was ran really professionally. This most recent show was a shit show. It was a total shit show. And I had like people, cause we were posting these videos. I had people on like local Instagram accounts saying like, you're evil. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, the venue didn't enforce rules,
and yeah, there's people like running out of seats. I mean, to be like, hey, like, just remember, like, I always say, like, wear your fucking masks, but like at the same time, like, I can't control, like, I'm not in charge of the venue. Like, the venue is paying me, so like I'm not in charge of enforcing the rules.
Yeah, which like obviously we don't want to get into the rules or like if they're valid or not. That'll change the entire scope of the conversation.
Yeah,
but we, at the beginning, there was a few times where, like, go back to your seats, but these fans wouldn't have it. And so they just kept on running up to the stage, kept on running up the stage. And then it got to the point to where the venue would, like, stopped enforcing it. And then there's a few people, like, hitting us up online, like, how could you? What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Like, clearly maybe we shouldn't be doing shows if it's still a thing. But it's also stopping becoming a thing from, like, a number standpoint. But it was – if I was – to be asked, because the venue hit me up to like play a show and said that they were getting back into it. If I was to be asked to do it again, I would say no, just from the sole standpoint of like, they didn't have their ducks in a row to keep people away from each other. The last venue did. They had like massive barriers in between people, but it's also really not conducive unless you have like heavy fighter power and security and like barriers and stuff. Like if I went to see Black Bear, I guarantee everything would be completely like closed off, impossible to get around. This venue didn't have that. They were very understaffed. They just didn't have the means to be able to secure people. And when you're at a concert, everyone's so emotional and wants to see their shit and jam to it as hard as they possibly can. So it's just like super conflictive energies. But I mean, on a positive note, it was like super freaking dope to play a show and have people like bump into our shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting their hands in the air and like living life and like feeling good about it type thing. But to be honest, probably just too early. I think trying one in a month or two for now would be good.
It's so hard to like gauge it too, because everyone's like, oh, I want it to go back to normal. But then you realize that nothing is ever really going to be like the old normal. We have to like adjust to like the new normal. So, but I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about that. These are the thoughts that I have. And I was like, what do you think moshing is going to be like in a world post-COVID? Because, you know, House of Blues says no moshing, but then it happens and they're like, well, we're not going to, you know, sometimes, like, and like you said, they just kind of give up because there's no way right. that they can reasonably enforce it. But I was like, how is that going to work? Like, when people get together in, like, a pit and then they just start, like, I was thinking about that. And I was like, how would that work?
I have no idea. But I do know that everything, it sucks because, like, I'm not a very political guy. But everything, every decision I make is viewed through a political lens now.
Yeah.
Which I hate. Because I don't, it's obviously everyone needs to have their own political affiliation and choice and everything, but I don't want to be judged or judge other people based on that. I want to just like figure out who they are and like agree on things naturally and disagree on things naturally and like make friends that way.
Yeah.
So it becomes a hard conversation because if you go to some states, it's like us playing a show like we just did is fine. There's nothing wrong with it according to the people and the culture of that state. But if you go to like a Western state, then it's like absolutely no way. Not now, not a year from now, not 2 years from now. So it'll be a lot of hard decisions, I feel like, for artists to make.
Especially because it's like their livelihood too. Like it's their livelihood.
Yeah, absolutely. And like just in full transparency, it's expensive to like go to the studio and put these tracks together and get them mastered. It's expensive to pay for the videos, for the content. It takes time and you don't really make that much from the streaming at this level. So where you can really break even is through merch sales and live shows. And like our first show we did in October, we made like a couple grand, and this past show we made a grand and had 750 go to suicide awareness. But that's really how you kind of like fuel the engine. And so it's really hard for new artists like this, I think.
Yeah. I always try to buy merch from the bands that I see, like at least one thing. So I have, you can't really see it, but over on this wall, I have a wall of dad hats. They're usually not the cheapest. Cause I don't want to pussy out and get stickers, but I do want to like give something like substantial. So it's usually hats. I've only ever bought a tour hoodie once. Cause those are like, you know,
those are expensive.
Those are really expensive, but it was really worth it. Cause I really liked the band, but I have to start, this is how many band shirts I have now. I have to start rotating them out by like season. So I have, that's where I'm at right now. But like, I know that that's how bands get their money. So I'm like, I'm just throwing money. And I was like, take my money.
Yeah, I specifically remember you coming up to our merch table after one of our shows.
Yes. Dylan, my friend Dylan,
supporting your locals.
Yeah, he came with me. He was the one who drove, and he and I got matching shirts, and so we wore them to Halloween parties because we were we were twins.
I specifically remember him too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. People like you are like what makes it worth it for us. Like, cuz you're doing it because you care. Some people will buy the merch just cuz it's like, "Oh, you harassed me enough." Like, yeah, I'll take one. But some people like go out of their way to buy it. It's like, those are the people that freaking make this thing work.
This is the third episode in a row where I'm like about to blush. I gotta, you guys are ruining my reputation of being a stone cold bitch.
No, dude. fucking blush. Do it. Wear that shit.
But other than that, I don't really have any like questions, but if there's anything that you feel like you want to ask me, cause it's a conversation, feel free. If not, I always ask everybody for, they can give their advice that they'd like to, you know, impart on the listeners.
Well, you mentioned something earlier about like sending 100 emails to these different people. That is so cool. And for anyone that's listening to this, like, do you listen to Gary Vee?
No.
Or follow him? You really should. And he's always trying to like non-prima donna our culture by like getting us to realize how hard you actually have to work to make these projects work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
And it is that. It's doing that every day and sending the 100 emails and like doing the real hardcore grunt work that nobody thinks about, because our culture is so immediate gratification oriented. But the ones that make it are the ones that like schedule out their shit. Like, how many interviews am I going to have this week? And like, am I going to set a realistic goal to be able to get my content out there? And who am I going to DM that's going to, you know, maybe set up a collaboration with me or like repost my shit? And I'm going through those same struggles. I have a full-time job as a CEO for a 120-person company that operates in five different markets. So finding time to like balance both, this gentleman, Gary Vee, talks about all the time. Like, what are you doing at from 7 to 11 at night? Like after your 9 to 5, after your dinner, like that's where the legends and the dreams are aspired.
It's where my best ideas come up. Mine are usually at like 2 a.m., but
And it's, let me tell you, it's hard to get in that zone. Like there's so many days where it's like, I would rather just chill. I would rather just go through my Instagram feed as just like a normal user of the app and not like be hitting people up and doing the whole grind thing and just watch my Netflix. But like somehow in some way channeling that energy. And then I think also having an accountability system. We just brought on this guy locally as like an A&R manager. And so it's been really helpful for me to have somebody that's like, yo, let's get together and like figure out content for the next 3 months for our EP that's going to be released. And then also figure out who are the best people that we can be reaching out to be able to get, you know, collaborations or get them to put a feature on it for their magazine or their article or so on and so forth. We got featured on from doing the same exact thing. We got featured on Spotify's editorial playlist for Rock Christmas.
That's where the money is if you get on those Spotify playlists. That's where the big bucks are.
Guess how it happened?
How?
We literally hit the director of rock and roll at Spotify on Instagram and said like, yo, you've put like a couple of my favorite bands on here locally, like love what you're doing. Thank you so much for like making our dreams come true. We actually just came out with a song ourselves. If you like it, you know, totally put it on your playlist. She's like, just added it to Rock Christmas. It's like that one thing out of, we probably hit up 200 people and she got us added to a playlist. And then iHeartRadio got us added to one of their contemporary Christmas ones. But like that grind shit pays off because people don't do it.
It's exhausting, especially because like I'm one person and I have the job of like 8 people.
Exactly.
And
fucking hard.
It's hard. Some days, and it goes along with, like, being bipolar is still something that I'm, like, I'm not struggling to embrace, but I'm, you know, figuring out how it, like, works into my content now. Because when I'm on my highs or, like, I'm very manic, like, I got ideas. I got ideas for days. That shit gets written down. Okay. Sometimes it's crazy, but other times, like, it makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, when I get really low, I'm, like, I don't even want to touch it because, like, everything I work on is garbage. So it's kind of, like, finding that balance. But then I also, when I do these, because I transcribe them just to, like, put closed captions when I put them up on YouTube, it's, like, I hate the sound of my own voice. Like, I hate listening to myself. So I'm, like, I tried to get my brother to do it, but he's busy because he's in, you know, he's a Boy Scout. He's a junior in high school. He's getting ready to take his ACT next week. Like, he's packed with all the stuff that he has to do. So I'm like, now I got to buckle down and do it. And then they're long, and it feels so long. But then when you finish it, you're like, oh, my God, I finished it, and now I feel good. I got that instant gratification of I got something done.
Yeah, and I think that self-awareness is key. Like, so many people don't allow themselves to accept their own reality. But if you can, like you're talking about, like, you can use it to your own fucking advantage.
Just DM,
fucking dope.
DM and send as many emails. They're like, how do you get into shows for free? And I was like, do you know how many emails, like, doing my radio show, I was like, do you know how many emails I sent a week? Like, I sent at least, like, 40 emails a week to, like, different people, like, A&R people to be like, hey, I'm playing this music, or, like, could I get some music, you know, all this stuff, and be like, hey, please listen to my show.
Exactly. You just gotta make sure it happened. And the behind the scenes, I think another really cool thing that people that have had success do to get around the big time people, like, offer to do shit for free.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And before you know it, like, shit, you're doing that for, like, Mike Posner, somebody that I have a strong connection to because a business partner of mine used to manage him through his heyday. And so I'm, like, hitting him up and I'm like, yo, what can I do to just get around the dude?
I had that kind of moment when X Ambassadors came to Cleveland. So I was there and I was going to interview their opener because that's how I get into these shows, and I wasn't thinking anything of it. And I had X Ambassadors reach out to me to be like, hey, would you photograph our set? And I was like, that was like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. They don't put on that very interesting of a show.
I've seen him. It's like, it was like, okay.
It's he looks like, I'm not, this sounds so mean, but he looks like a bald Borat. it made me feel so mean when I thought of it, but like, I can't unsee it. So,
yeah.
You know, having that, like, the moments will be there, I feel like. It's just harder to get them.
Yeah. And then before you know it, though, the more you knock on the door of opportunity, the ex-ambassador opportunity doesn't seem like anything because now you're on to bigger and better shit.
But it was really cool to be like, hey, guys, I can't make the meeting tonight. Ex-ambassadors asked if I would, like, photograph their set, like, not to, like, flex, but I'm going to flex. Yeah,
that's actually badass, though.
Which is how I ended up with my award that season that I didn't end up getting because I was out getting content for BSR at the time. They were like, here's an award for exceptional content that Jen will apparently not be here to receive because she's out getting content. So, brand.
Hell yeah. Well, no, outside of that, keep doing what you're doing. Let's get together in Cleveland the next time I'm up there.
Yes.
Hopefully sooner rather than later. And thanks a shit ton for having me on. It was nice to hear your voice and
of course.
Connect with you. And your voice sounds good. Don't ever believe that it sounds bad.
Thank you. Is there anything else you want to plug while I have you here?
No, just check out our single. It's coming out on Friday, next Friday. No, I Can't is the title of that. We'll have link up in bio of Instagram, of Snapchat, obviously all over our Spotify, Apple Music, all the distribution, the popular channels that you guys like to use. But no, keep on doing what we're doing. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to hit my end record.